produced, or are they they're doing them one at a time as
one
the, as the
today's daf is daf Chof Gimel, and we were holding still on daf Chof Beis Amid Beis at the two dots. Oh, we only got to the Mishnah? Oh, sorry, okay, we're holding at the Mishnah. Saba Josh is just in time.
Took the Heilige Mishnah.
Haya omeid bat filah v'nizkar shu balkeri lo yapsik ela yikatsir. As we saw earlier, we basically opened up the proceedings regarding the balkeri with the question of Amida Betfila. Here we finally get to the Mishnah we've discussed earlier. So here he's already begun to daven. He remembers that he wasn't supposed to begin according to the Takanas Ezra. He shouldn't stop short in the middle of davening Ela Yikatser. And as Tosis pointed out earlier, he wasn't given the option over here of Yeharher. So it's apparent that the issue is what we're allowing him to actually say. So he should continue to say his tefillah, but he should try to keep it as short as possible and maybe not say it in middle part of the bracha. He should say the opening of the bracha, closing of the bracha. Yarad litvol. So now as somebody who was a balkeri who goes to the mikveh, Im yachol la'alot ulehitkasot v'likrot, ad shelo te'anetzach hama, ya'aleh v'yitkaseh. If he has sufficient time to get out of the mikveh, dry off, put something on, and say Kriyat Shema before the Netzach Hama, he should do that, and then he can read Bizmano. But if not, im la'av v'yitkaseh b'mayim v'yikra, he should actually say Kriyat Shema in the water. Now, over here the question is, is he just saying Kriyat Shema? Is he saying Kriyat Shema with Birkot Kriyat Shema? If he's saying it with the brachas, is he going to dive in the water because he has to be Misbach Gula Letzvila? This actually branches off into a general question, which is, somebody's in a position, he obviously doesn't have a minion with him in the mikveh here. So somebody's in a position in which it's Zman Kriyat Shema. And he has an, this happens very, very often, especially on Shabbatot. This is unfortunately pretty much the norm at certain times of the year, in which the minyan that's kavua in the neighborhood actually starts the davening in a way that by the time they get to Zman Kriyat Shema, it's really after Zman Kriyat Shema. And all that they're doing is that they're at least Zman Tfila they're catching within Arba Sha'ot, right? So now, you as an individual, what should you do? Should you say Kriyat Shema without Birkot Kriyat Shema before? Come to Shul and then say Kriyat Shema again, this time with Birkot Kriyat Shema. And that way you're going to be at least davening the Tfila Bizmano, but you won't have said Kriyat Shema with the Birkot Kriyat Shema. The Brachos are Yotzi, because as we saw before, the Brachos are given the same din as the Zman of Tfila. According to the Rambam, even more, it's Kol Hayom. So this is a big question. From the Mashmaut of our Mishnah, it would appear that a person is supposed to say Kriyat Shema on his own, because it's a similar case. He's in the mikveh, he's not going to be able to now have his minion, so he should nonetheless just say Kriyat Shema here, unless you learn that it means that he's actually going to say the whole davening in the mikveh.
He's talking about the Zman Darit says that Netzach Hama is the end of Zman Kriyat Shema.
No, that's the other amazing thing. It's clear that over here the Lechatchila, which we were medayik before when we discussed the halacha of what the Zman Kriyat Shema is, b'shachris, Lechatchila, you have to be makbid to make sure that you read when it's possible to read. The stress on the Netzach Hama over here, on the contrary, is mashma, because the Netzach Hama is later than is really necessary according to most. In other words, if Mishayakir is this year, then you should read Kriyat Shema Mishayakir. The only reason we said to put it off until the Zman of Atikin is because we want it to be Masbach Gula Latfila. So now we're talking about making sure that you're reading in the mikveh and you're not going to be Masbach Gula Latfila. Elamai, you're davening all davening in the mikveh. And if that's the case, so then it means that you should join up with the tzibur only for Kriyas HaTorah. You should just, it's better to daven be a chidut, be Masbach Zman Kriyat Shema. Davening Zman Kriyat Shema, saying Zman Kriyat Shema, Zman, with the brothers. Then you're saying with Gula Latvila, and then what can you do? There was no minion that you could daven with in order to mask Gula Latvila. That's what it certainly seems from the Gemara. Lamaisa, that's true. halachically speaking, according to most shitas. However, I mean, as the Achronim bring it, the Mishnah Berurah brings it, simply it has become accepted as the minhag that the tefillah b'tzibur is more important, and that people daven in shul, even though the shul is davening too late. So what they do is they just say Kriyat Shema earlier, don't say Kriyat Shema with the brachot, and that way they have the mismach gula l'tefillah, but that doesn't mean that it's consistent with the sugya to do it that way, but definitely that is the way most people do it.
Can the water be clear here?
No. What we have to be talking about over here is that you're going to be covered with water where at least your genitals aren't visible, otherwise you have a problem. B'chol, as we'll see later on, you're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema, any Dover Shel Kedusha in front of nakedness. So the water helps in that it's considered to be a covering in terms of wearing something. But it's transparent. In other words, if you're wearing transparent clothing, you might be yotzi the fact that you have something between that's called bein libo le'erva, which is an important halacha. So you have a transparent belt. I mean, it's all very nice, and the rest of you stark naked. I mean, it's beautiful. It's not a problem of libo roes erva because you have something up against, but if it's transparent, you know, you're still in the presence of erva. We're going to see these halachas later on. And the Gemara speaks about the issue of erva in Kriyat Shema at length. And here we're it's really not exactly our sugya, so we'll let it go a bit. Now, if he's going to be in the water, he cannot be mechaseh himself, lo b'mayim hara'im, v'lo b'mayim mishra. He can't have smelly water. You can't have water that was used even for the breakdown of the enzymes in flax, which they used to soak until you could open it up, otherwise it's hard. And it's exposed to water, then it's easily broken to pads.
Did you use a mikveh for that?
No, but you weren't using a mikveh either. This may be a pool that was miyuchad originally for something else. But anyway, that is a problem of being in a makom with reyach ra, or with rotting organic material. We'll see what defines the question of reyach and so on later. But it seems to be saying, and the Gemara is going to say that there's something missing in this Mishnah, because what it seems to be saying doesn't make sense. Hachi yatila tochan mai. You should pour water into it, which is going to do you a lot of good. You know, you're sitting in a cesspool, but pour some water into it. You know. So later on we're going to see that there's a piece that's missing in the Mishnah's Gesur Mechaser. The kama yarchik behem uminat so'af. What would be the distance that you'd have to put between yourself and this mayim hara'im, this smelly water, or for that matter, from natural pile of excrement on the ground, arba amot. Tanu rabbanan, haya omed bat vilav v'nizkar shu balkeri lo yafsik ala yikatser. Haya kore bat torah v'nizkar shu balkeri. Again, eno mafsik v'olah. Ela migamgem v'kore. So migamgem, if you remember, there was that Talmud that was being migamgem. Leila, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that's when the whole thing started with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saying, Ein Dibrei Torah. Rabbi Yisrael saying, Ein Dibrei Torah, Mekadlim Tumah. So over there, Gimgum was mashma hesitation in some of the Rishonim. Over here, Gimgum, Rashi says, means Mirutza. To read it very, very quickly. As we saw that, obviously the context defines Gimgum gift differently. Person being hesitant, stumbling over his words. It's not the same as being as Merutza, but over there we were looking at Gimgum just so that Rabbi Yehuda Becerra would notice his hesitation. He was hesitant. Over here the idea is La Alocha. We said that you could say things very quickly as long as you don't have to get into Ayatzia. So this would be the equivalent of Ayatzia. Should let him read quickly. Rabbi Meir says what? I don't care how quickly he's reading, but he certainly can't read more than three psukim. Because anyway, even if it's in the middle of his aliyah, that's the shear of an aliyah. So, you know, so it's another 20 psukim, maybe to shlishi, but so what? Stop here and take the next aliyah. So he should certainly not read, even if he's reading b'merutza, more than three psukim. Tanya yidav, haya omed batfilah. Another braisa discusses the question of discovering suddenly in the middle of davening that there's so'akinegdo, so that there's some excrement on the street in front of him, and he's davening there. He has to move in the middle of his tefillah. So Mahalech Lefanav, what he should do is he should walk ahead, Achi Yizrkenu La'achorav Arba Amot. So that way we walk 4 amot ahead. Ahead not of where he is now, but ahead of where the excrement is. Says the Gemara, but there's another brisa that says Vatanya Litzdadim, that it would be okay to get a distance. It's a little disturbing, you guys back there. I'm sorry. That if you move it to the side, in other words, you don't have to go necessarily in a way that you leave the excrement behind you. Lo kasha, if it's possible, and there's no wall in front of you, whatever, walk ahead. If it's impossible, you're standing at the wall, you see where you're next to you, there's a pile, move over to the side 4 amot away.
Even if you can still smell it.
No. Smell is a different issue. That's what I mentioned earlier. We'll talk about smell later. Lo kasha, how about if you found out after you davened that actually you were standing on top of a pile of tzoa? Then what? Even though what you did was wrong, in other words, you should have made sure to check beforehand and see that there was nothing there. But once you davened already, your tefillah was accepted. Matki Florava, doesn't it say Zevach Rishaim Toiva? And since this person is in a matzav of not doing what he needs to do, even though he certainly didn't do it amazing, but he should have checked where he was. So he's begetter now. His tvila, after all, is the equivalent of a korban. It says about a korban that Zevach Rishaim is Toiva. A person has to bring something in a state of tshuva, not in a state of sin. Elamarava Hoyo Vechata. Since what he did was wrong, that tefillah is not acceptable. The tefillah was actually a toeva and didn't achieve anything. Meaning what? This is a machlokas already. Meaning, according to one shita, that there's nothing to do about it. You lost it. That's tosas shita. So it's mu'uvat lo yuchal litkon. You know, sometimes you mess things up in a way that are not fixable. Because the tefillah was said, but the tefillah wasn't mikubal. So what it is that you could have done, you did. It's just that you didn't get anything out of it. There was no ritzui out of it. Whereas the ri holds that you should go now and say your tefillah again. Because the mitzvah is not to say tefillah. The mitzvah is to achieve something with your tefillah. So it would be like bringing a pasul korban.
You saying it changes the tefillah of tefillah, or is it different than tefillah?
No. We're not going with tefillah so tefillah. Afa pishit palel tefillah to tefillah. Before the first lashon was tefillah to tefillah.
Tefillah
to
tefillah means that's wrong. Not
tefillah to tefillah. Right, yeah. This is Rava. Ella. He argues on it. Ella am I Rava. This was after the hatkafa of Rava and Rava. So Rava said tefillah to tefillah. Rava said, how could tefillah to be tefillah if it's Zevach Rishaim to Eva?
Why are you labeling it as a Rasha for... He was there, but hidden.
But he's supposed to look. You know, when you daven, you have to make sure that the place that you're davening is a mokum that's roi for tefillah. Lemaisa, the poskimer mechalik between a place that is olul for such a thing to happen, or where it's inconceivable normally. I mean, it turns out somebody locked a dog in the shul or something. I mean, it's not a normal circumstance. Then ain't a chinami. We wouldn't call it rinna, but if it's begetter onus, then it's not a din in Zevach Rishayim. But definitely, Zevach Rishayim to Eva, lahalocha applies to shogeg. That's where it's said. Somebody's chayav a carbon chattis, let's say. He brings that carbon without doing teshuvah. It's called Zevach Rishayim to Eva. So, I mean, that could be the same thing over here. That's what I was saying. You can't simply daven again.
If you're Mechadish, according to
Joseph, if you're Mechadish, but then it would be Begetter Nedava. Tanur Rabbanan, Hayal Medva Tefillah. Okay, this is all a relationship to the question of excrement or of filthy water. How about somebody who is davening loses control of his urine? Umayim Shotatim Al Birkav. So he's basically dribbling urine in the middle of his davening. Poseki has to stop. Achi yichalu hamayim. Until the urine stops, V'chozeru mitpalel, and then he goes back and he davens. Now, Tosus takes for granted that it's talking about that the urine fell on the ground. And therefore he's bothered by the fact that it says chozeru mitpalel is mashma, that he doesn't have to move. Why wouldn't he have to move from where he is, since you're really not supposed to daven in a place where there was urine either? Right. So Tosus says it's talking about over here that maybe since it was shotate means dripping instead of really a stream of urine, so therefore it's probably absorbed rapidly. And if it's absorbed, then even if it's damp, then there's no chiyuv to move around. Others learn that it's talking about over here, mayim shatot berkav, it's talking about not on the ground, bechlal. This is absorbed in his pants or something, is begadim. So the shaila over here is to what point you would go back. Leichan chozer. This is machlokas between Rav Chista and Rav Amnuna. Chad omer chozer l'rosh. One man Yoma says that since at the time that he started to daven, even though he hadn't at that time had any problems losing control of his bladder, but the point is that he was clearly in a position in which that tefillah could not be finished properly, and therefore it's daven over again. It's chozer l'rosh. We'll see what they're arguing in a moment. V'chad omer l'makom shepasak. The other one says the davening is just to resume where it is that you stopped. So Lena Bahakam Niflage, are they arguing perhaps about the following? Then Mar Savarim Shahakadeligmorat Kulach Ozer LaRosh, Umar Zavar LaMakom Shepasak. Maybe the question over here is, what is the definition of a Hafsaka? And we know that this is discussed in terms of Tefillah. If somebody he doesn't do anything else, but he stops doing what he's doing, he's no longer davening. At what point is the continuation no longer a continuation? It's as if he finished what had been done, and now he's got to start over again. So there the shear that's mentioned is the amount of time that it would take to say the whole davening, most learned in the first place. We'll see what the machlokes means from this point on, or whether it means to say the davening from beginning to end in the first place. But in any event, since that would be the norm in which this act is completed, so it's the same type of idea as eating something. You're eating a kezayis. How long can you spread that kezayis out over? So we have a dinner of kezayis with tefillah, the process, let's say. When it comes to tefillah, we have the same idea. If there's a hafsaka in the tefillah, and it's not an ongoing tefillah, then the amount of times, sort of bichdei shiit palil, is the same idea as kidei achilat pras for eating. So if it takes more time than that, your hafsaka takes more time than that, that Shmon Esrei was over, so to speak, and you didn't finish. So you got to start over again, and now you're going to do the tefillah properly. So maybe that's the machloket over here. One man, the armor holds that the shiur of kidei, the gorat kula, is the shiur of a hefsek, and therefore he has to start again, and the other one holds no. It doesn't matter, as long as you didn't do anything else in between, there was no active end to what it was that you were doing earlier. Omer Ravashi said, Ravashi, no, that's clearly a wrong idea, because if we were talking about a case in which he had been shahal ligmorat kula, we would have had to define it so, didn't we? Did anybody say a word about im shahar then? Im lo shahar then? No, nobody said a word about that. So obviously, that is not the case. They couldn't be discussing that issue, and that's the issue, but we won't bother mentioning it. That's a little absurd. So therefore, says Ravashi, hai im shaha im lo shaha mi boile. Shouldn't it have said, quote, im shaha, unquote, and then described, and what about, quote, im lo shaha, unquote. But it doesn't say that. So on the contrary, im shaha kadei ligmorat kula chozer la rosh. There's no reason for us to assume that there'd be an argument about a case in which there was actually a hafsaka long enough to read the whole Kriyat Shema. The point over here is that we're not talking about such a case. Hatam b'dalo shahakam if. The machloket over here is, and something else entirely. The mar savar gavra dechuyahu ve'in ro'ui ve'in tvilato tvila umar savar gavra chazyahu ve'tvilato tvila. The shayla over here is, at the time that the person began to daven, he needed to go to the bathroom. At least this is the way Rashi learns. Is davening in that state a dihui of the individual? He should not have davened in that state. Therefore, his entire tefillah is not a tefillah, and he has to go back, even though he wasn't sure, because ligmor et kula, he has to go back to the beginning. And the other man, the Amar, holds that as long as he wasn't actually in a state of losing control over his bladder. So during the time that he did daven, before that happened, he's considered to be ra'ui, even though he shouldn't have davened. This is how Rashi learns the sugya. There's a number of different approaches which we'll review, Bezrat Hashem, in our Thursday review this week. I just want to remind you about that, because we're not doing the Friday review because of the Purim issues. Okay, now maybe that's the issue then. Tan Rabbanan, Hanitzach l'nekavav, and this flows directly, excuse the pun, directly into the next piece, which according to Rashi is because of the question of whether he's Nitzach l'nekavav. So the question is, what is the halacha of someone who actually would have needed to move his bowels, and he figures, okay, but I don't have time to go to bathroom now, let me just, daven first. So he's Nitzach l'nekavav, al yitpalev. He shouldn't daven. Ve'im yitpalel tvilato to'evan, if he does, then his tvila, in fact, is rejected, because he's not in a state of being roi for tvila. Omer v'zvid v'temer av Yehuda, lo shano na she'ino yachol lishot ba'atzma. This is only if he wouldn't have been able to hold it in. Avolim yachol lishot ba'atzma tvilato tvila. Meaning what? Hold it in how long? What are you talking about? Bat kama. So we're talking about it, then if somebody has a vague notion, they need to move their bowels. Or he's really afraid he's only got X amount of time to be able to daven without desperately needing to go to the bathroom. The question over here, by the way, is also in a very big machlokas rishonim as to what the pagam is over here. The Rambam learns that the pagam is tirda. That once a person believes that he's going to have to go, he's not going to be able to concentrate on his tefillah, because he certainly can't take a long time davening. That's all he needs. He's going to have to finish up his davening. So if he's tarud, then that's a chisaron in his ability to be mispalel. So it's like the elements of tirda that we saw earlier in terms of kriyat shema, dinim of kavana. Others learn that the fact that he needs to move his bowels means that it's begeder soa begufo. A new concept. In other words, obviously, everybody has intestines, and that's not the point. But the moment that the contents of those intestines are supposed to be gotten rid of in terms of the call of nature, so at that point, we now become sensitive to those contents. In the same way that we're makbid not to read in a place that isn't clean, it's as if your body isn't clean because it's meant to be cleansed of your intestinal contents. Now that's a completely different shaila, both in terms of the didim of tefilato to'eva and how to understand the issue of at what point he would consider to be mituav. We will see again in our review. We'll see the nafkamina's la'alocha between the Rambam's approach and the other approaches, the Rosh approach. And I'm not saying they're the only ones, but that's generally the way it's referred to.
In yacholishos is la'davka. He is davening.
No, we're going to define it in a minute. V'yad kama, what do we mean by any yochol lishot? In other words, obviously what we mean by that is that there's a point that's always true. I mean, say any time a person is going, within the next 3 days he's going to have to move his bowels. I mean, thank you. So say any yochol lishot. And obviously, as Ramati just pointed out, it doesn't mean instantly he's going to lose control of his bowels. He's sitting here in daven. That's not the problem. So what is the shiur that we're talking about? Omer of Sheshes Ad Parsa. What we're talking about is the shiur of a parsa, which is four meal. The meal, that's our classic standard of 18 minutes. So this is a 72 minutes, basically, shihia. So, ikar masnila amatnita. Others say that this point over here begins, the Rav Zvid Vitemer Rav Yehuda was only the Ad Kama, what Rav Sheshes is reported here as saying, and that the words that were reported by Rav Zvid or Rav Yehuda is actually built into the actual Brisa, that the lashon of the Brisa was, quote, Bamed dvarim amurim kishein yachol la'amod al atzmo, avalim yachol la'amod al atzmo tefilato to'eva, at which point we asked the Ad Kama, and then it wasn't Rav Sheshes in this lashon, but again it was Omer Rav Zvid v'tem Rav Yehuda Ad Parsa. Okay. Omer Rabbi Shmuel ben Achveni, Omer Rabbi Yonatan, Hanitzrach l'nekavav areze lo yitpalel mishum shneemar hikon likrat Elohecha Yisrael. the person that needs to move his bowels, at least according to most, that's what we're talking about in the Kavav, is considered to be possible for tefillah because he's not hikon. Hikon means to be prepared.
It says that there's a need to do it before the tefillah, not something that comes on you during the tefillah.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, we're talking about when you were in the matzah, the question of whether someone suddenly feels that maybe he ought to go to the bathroom now in the middle of his davening is not the same as hikon before the haskalah satzvilah. The Omer Rabbi Shmuel Nachmini Omer Yomi Omer Rabbi Yonatan. My dechtiv. What is the meaning of the pasuk? Shemor raglecha kashete lecha beit Elohim. Watch your feet when you're about to walk into the house of the Lord. And the pasuk continues. The karov lishmoa mitet aksilim zevach, which is a little bit weird. And be close to listening before you give like a fool a gift. That pasuk doesn't seem to hold together. Well, let's explain it. The meaning of Shmor Raglecha is Shmor Atzmecha Shelo Techta. The idea is be careful that you should not put yourself into a position which will force you now to take your Raglecha to the house of God to bring a korban. So, and if you did, Mim Techta, Havei korban lefanai. But if you're going to bring that korban already, v'karev lishmoa, do it out of tefillah. Then recognize that you did things wrong. That's havei karev lishmoa divrei chachamim. And therefore, imchoti mevim korban v'osim teshuvah. So such a person will recognize his mistake, do teshuvah, and that would be part of his hakravas hakorban. Continues the pasuk, mitei taksilim zevach. That's a better way to do life than the way fools bring a gift. Meaning, there's people who think, you know, okay, carbon, that's what you pay, you know? So you take your pleasures and then you pay. So whatever the price is, you know, you get beaten up. If Bezdin catches you, or you pay your parking ticket if you're in the wrong place, I certainly am going to do it again. I just take that into consideration. That, okay, that's part of the price you pay for parking. So, you know, I could go to one of these insane Manhattan lots and pay $40 an hour. Or I could take my chance, a $150 ticket. Which one will it be? I'll take my chance for free, you know. And okay, so if they catch me, they'll beat me. Some people actually like getting beaten afterwards, right? I mean, that's masochism. So that's how it develops, really. It's part of it. You pay your dues. That way you can enjoy life. So the Tetak Silim is that you're going to go ahead now and you'll pay your dues to God. Well, I got to do tshuva enough also. So that's what the pasuk is saying. Watch out that you shouldn't have to be in a matzah. Because after all, the point is that you're going to have to discover what is right and what is good and to do tshuva to make it happen. Not to be like a fool who thinks that bringing a korban is like paying a due. You'll see how this relates to the idea of tefillah to'eva before, Rich. Of Zevach Rishayim To'eva. In other words, the idea is not to go through the motions, but that what you're doing is roi to be done. And they don't do tshuva. And then the pasuk ends with very strange words. Einam yodim lasot ra. These guys can't do anything wrong. So, well, if they can't do anything wrong, doesn't that make them tzaddikim? Yachid tzaddikim, you know. What's the Torah? I mean, the Shlomo HaMelech is saying, don't be like fools who will bring a zevach and don't know how to do anything wrong. I don't know. Generally, it's pretty good to be in a situation where you don't know how to do anything wrong, no? What does it mean, therefore? It means, you know what? These guys are so mixed up. And the question over here is, you know, I mean, it's a good thing to bring a carbon, right? So, you know, basically, I'm a good guy because I'm bringing my korban chatas. Not everybody gets to bring a korban chatas. So that, I mean, that certainly puts me one up on everybody else. I mean, did you ever bring a korban chatas? No? Ah! There we go. So this guy has no way of measuring his moral stature. So he can't do bad. He's too stupid to do bad. He doesn't know if he's doing bad. So you want to be like that? Amara Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know? Ben tov l'ra inan mavchinim. These guys don't have enough das to be able to be mavchim Enam yodim lasot ra. They don't even know what bad is all about. They don't have a taste for evil. So they're bringing korbanos lefanai. That's a rejection of the carbon. Ravashi, Vitaber of Chanina Bar Papa, and he brings it directly in our sugya, says, now what do you mean? Shmor raglecha. Anyway, what is it? But that's the issue. Watch your feet. I'll tell you, it's a euphemism for your orifices, which are by your feet. In other words, make sure you go to the bathroom when you're going to the house of the Lord. That is to say, before you go into the Beit HaKnesset, to be mitkalel, see to it that you are shmor nikavecha b'shata b'shahashata omed batfila lefanai, so that you should be in a matzav to be mitpalel in order to be omed in the Beit HaKnesset.
Would it be correct to say that we have to eat from the Yitzhadas in order to bring korbanos? Because you require
to bring korbanos of chat? Shor par that the Adam Rishon brought wasn't a korban. I mean, the Gemara asks this in Chagiga. Gemara darshens this pasuk in Chagiga and says that that's the nafkamina between the chatas and zevach that is being referred to. Tan Rabbanan, speaking now of the question of the relationship of your tefillah to tzolah. I mean, how about your tefillin? We haven't discussed that question. One is a question of speaking, but how about the kedusha of tefillin itself? So therefore, says the Braisa, "Anichnas lebeit hakisei choleitz tefilav berichuk arba amot v'nichnas." Somebody is about to go into a bathroom. He should remove his tefillin before he gets within 4 amas of the bathroom, and then go. Omer v'acha baravuna omer v'sheshes lo shonu el lebeit hakisei kavua. This is only if he's going into a location that has been used for a Beit HaKisei. Now remember, the meaning of that by definition, in terms of the Gemara, that didn't have plumbing, is a Beit HaKisei Kavua means that this is a place that has been used, and therefore there is actually Tzoa there. Because that's what makes it a Beit HaKisei. But if it's a Beit HaKisei Arai, meaning it's never been used before, you're about to turn it into a Beit HaKisei, so to speak. So then, you take off your tefillin, do what you gotta do, and then there's obviously no Din of Arba Amos, because there's no Mokum yet. It's your use of it that's gonna turn it into a Beit HaKisei. Ukushu Yotzei, now when you're leaving, Marchik Arba Amotu Minichan. But at that point, you have to walk away because now you've turned it by using it into a Beit HaKisei. Mivnei she'asa, Beit HaKisei kavu. Now, how about Iboilu? Maushi kades adam betfilin lebeit HaKisei kavu ala hashtin mai. There, many are concerned about the relationship of this. We just got finished saying you can't even walk into the bathroom wearing your tefillin. And now we're asking, how about walking into the tefillin to urinate? What is that supposed to mean? So some, because of this, change the girsa into arai. Others learn that the meaning of the original nichmas lebeit hakisei was specifically to use it. So as if you know that you're going in to move your bowels, then the tefillin should be removed before. So over here the question is, okay, but that's not a din of knisa into the bathroom per se. It's a din of a knisa to use a bathroom. Here we're talking about how about just to urinate. Would that also be considered the equivalent? Others learn, fascinatingly, that indeed it's a greater kula to wear your tefillin into the bathroom in order to urinate than just to walk in with your tefillin. Because since people need to wear tefillin all day, mikra din, and they need to urinate often during the day, it's an absurdity to be metakein the relationship to tefillin in such a way that you have to remove your tefillin every time you need to urinate. And therefore, since we already allow you to be wearing tefillin during urination, so maybe it's okay to walk into the bathroom to urinate. Certainly saves the neighborhood. So maybe that's exactly what ought to be done. Okay, so we have three different approaches. Whether it be Mishana the Girsa, The truth is, there's another approach. Again, I don't want to get into it now. It's more nogea our halakhic questions, especially here in the Rova, where many are nohig to wear tefillin and urinate, and sometimes not in the bathroom, which might not be the best answer to the problem. But we'll talk about that also in our review. So there the question is, Ravina is Matir Rav Ada Bar Masna Asers. They came and they asked Rava, and he says, look, there's a whole different issue that you guys haven't thought about. And that is that oftentimes when a person urinates, he discovers that he needs to move his bowels. So once he's going to go into the bathroom to urinate, Chashina Chama Yefanebehem, he may already use the bathroom and still be wearing his tefillin. Therefore, he should take his tefillin off. Tanya Idach, Anichnas Lebeta Kisei Kavua, someone who's going into a bathroom that's already been defined as a bathroom, Choletz Tefilav Berichuk Arba Amot, and what does he do with the tefillin? Well, here it says, Minichan Dechalon Asamuch Roshut Rabbim, he should put these tefillin in, a chalon doesn't mean a window in our terms, it means a niche. So he should put, we're assuming there's some kind of fence or wall in which there's a place to stick his tefillin. It should be put in the area that faces the Rishut Arabim, then go out, then take the tefillin, walk 4 amas away, and then put them on. Divrei Beit Shammai. Beit Hillel says, no, don't put your tefillin in a niche. Hold them in your hands. Ochazim biyado v'nichnas, hold the tefillin in your hands and go into the bathroom. Rabbi Akiva says, well, not quite. Hold them by wrapping them in your clothing, and then hold that, and then he's nifnas. What do you mean? Do you mean just bebigdo? You said ochazan bebigdo. In other words, just sort of put it in your, put it like in a fold of the clothes. I mean, couldn't they fall out? I mean ochazan bebigdo v'yado. I mean, hold them like that. Put them in your baguette. Wrap them in a fold, hold the fold, so that now they won't fall out. Uminichan bechorim asmuchim lebeit hakisei, v'lo yenichen bechorim asmuchim rishut harabim. This is strange. Here, according to Beit Hillel, if you put them down, do not put them facing rishut harabim, put them bedafka closer to the Beit HaKisei, Shema yitlu otam ovrei drachim, because somebody may take your tefillin. And once they take your tefillin, you never know where they'll show up. So the yovali de chashad. Ma'aseh betalmida chachiniyat v'lav b'choriyas b'chinur shotarabim. And he thought that was the best idea. So did a certain local whore thought that was a good idea. And she took his tefillin and said, you know, I haven't been able to get any business off of this guy. We'll teach him a lesson. She goes into the Beit's medrash and she said, sorry, but one of your guys paid me with this package last night, and I don't know what to do with it. You want to just give it back to him? Maybe you know it belongs to him. So she says, Re'u manatan li ploni bischari. First time I ever got paid in tefillin. So kiman sheshama oto talmid, the guy hears that what's going on, he decides time for a brief suicide. So Allah l'rosh agag v'nafalu meit. That's when they made the takana, better not to leave your tefillin, even though maybe in terms of the tefillin per se, it's better not to take them in the bathroom with you, but there's other reasons that this is the best way to watch your tefillin.
You got a bad rap.
Maybe he owed her.
Huh?
Maybe he owed her.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's obviously what he assumed that people were going to say. He knew about the Abbas in the audience. You know, he could say whatever he wanted. It wasn't going to help anymore. Actually, the halakhas that we just list are a historical development. Because the fact is that we used to take as the norm to put the tefillin in a niche in the wall or something near the Beit HaKisei. That was a bad idea, because there's often rats in that area, and there's not a lot of traffic there. And this looks yummy. So itkinu she'aminichim otam b'chalonot b'chot l'rishut rabim. So they decided it would be better to put them in an area where there's no rats, because there's constant traffic, then they don't like getting run over by all those trucks running down the highway. And so therefore it's safer to leave them in a hole facing the Rishut Rabbim. That wasn't a good idea either, because then the Ba'ino Vrei Drachim and Otlim Otam. People would take them, steal them. Itkin, actually, is in a very nice market for tefillin, and the blacks in New York, they love taking tefillin. They see a tefillin in a car, some break the window, take the tefillin, because it's a whole religious thing, and people will buy the tefillin back, because they don't want the tefillin to be in the reshus of the goy. Who knows what he'll do with it? So it got around that people pay a lot of money for this. It became very popular. One of my Talmidim had a Maisa, which was incredible. He's approached by somebody, and he's very fast on his feet, this guy. So he's approached by a black guy who gives him the tefillin. He says, "Hey man, how much you pay me for these?" He opens it up, takes out the shalrosh. "Nice," he says, "this is really nice." The guy's getting, takes out the shalyad, looks at the shalyad. "Man, it's great condition, fantastic. Where's the other one?"
"They don't match."
"Which other one, man? That's all there was. Where's the other hand?" "Yeah, this is what there was." "Oh, I'm sorry, I got nothing. I don't want that." "How about $5? You taking $5? "Yeah, okay." That's momish fast on your feet. Okay? But it's a problem. It's a problem that Ovrei Drachim have a tendency to take it. So therefore, at that point, they changed the halacha, and itkinu shiyu ochazim biyado v'nichnasim. It's better to be holding the tefillin in your hand when you go into the bathroom, because that's the best shmirah that you can do it. Omer of Maisha.
What's that? Weren't there mouse traps on the windows of Garrison Boulevard?
I know. Omer of Maisha, Bereid, Rebbe Shub, and Levi, I never saw him. Halacha golalan kamin sefer. Now, halacha is that the tefillin should be wrapped up with the ritzuos, as if it's a sefer. You wrap them around with their own ritzuos. The ochazan biyamino keneged libo. Hold them in your right hand over your heart, which is bederach kavod. Why in your right hand is machlokas we've shown him, whether simply because shmira is better in your right hand, or because with your left hand you use your left hand to clean yourself, and therefore you don't want to hold your tefillin in the left hand. Omer of Yezeba min Yomi Omer of Nachman. This is only if you're careful. There shouldn't be an exposure of a tefach of the ritzua, because the ritzua has the kedusha, because it makes the oisius and the shame. The yud is done with the ritzua. The dalet is done with the ritzua. So the mela, it shouldn't be exposed in the bathroom either. Omer of Yaakov Barach Omer of Yizera. Lo shan ola shi yesh shahut biyom lelov shan. Avol ein shahut biyom lelov shan. This is only when you're going to be putting them back on again. If Lamaisa, you're walking around with your tefillin in such a way you're going to be walking with them till the end of the day, and now there's not going to be time to put on the tefillin again, they should be put back into your tefillin zekel. And then you can put them on the ground. However, normally you can't just put them on the ground. The way to put them on the ground is they have to be in a different reshus. Otherwise, it'd be zayin. You put your tefillin on the ground. It turns out like this: the tefillin zekel itself is actually considered to be botel to the tefillin. So that's like that. You can't. That would be putting the whole thing on the ground. But if you notice, they do this for chayalim. If the container is made in such a way that it has a tefach, which is the shear of an oil. So then it becomes like a different ohel. You're putting then the tefillin not on the ground, but in a little house. So your little house becomes that canteen-like device, which now has a tefach, and then you could set it down on the ground, which is very convenient for chayalim. You could actually put it next to you. And then it's like it's in a different reshus in terms of these halachas.
You just think it's put in a klisha, in a stamped plastic bag, in a miyuchalakach.
But that's not the easiest thing. The easiest thing is to have a tefillin zekel that can be used directly. So you can have a
protector. Why can't you take it in with you? It's this own little...
You do take it in with you. Omar Rabba Bar Barchan Amr Yochanan. B'yom golalan kimin sefra minichen b'yado. That's connected to both, as we said. U'balayalo selahem kimin kistefach u'minichan. Omer Abaye, but wait. This is only where this is the kli that is used to keep your tefillin. Lo shano ela b'kli shehu kelyan. Ava b'kli she'eno kelyan. Afilu pachod mitefach. If you have another container that is not the normal container that you use for your tefillin, you don't need a whole tefach, and I'll prove it to you, says Barzur Trevi Temer Vashi, Teda, because let's say you have a little cup, you have your little teacup. A teacup is not a tefach. And you have this teacup in an Ohel HaMeis, and it has a cover over it, a tight cover over it, it's not going to be Makabel Tuma inside. Because that's the din of Tzamit Pasil. You have a Kli Cheres that has a Tzamit Pasil alav, then there's no problem with Kabbalah Stoma. So in that case, it must be that you don't require a tefach to define, so to speak, a separate area. A kli is a separate area. The Omar Rabba Barbachana, ki avi azlinan batreder of the Yochanan, ki avi boy lemea lebet akisei. And when I used to walk behind Rabbi Yochanan and to learn from him and the way he acted, when he needed to go to the bathroom, if he was carrying something a sefer with him, he had a sefer dagarata, so Aviyar Yivlon, he would hand it to us. He did not take it into the bathroom with him. But ki avinaka tefillin, because all of these heterim were said specifically legabe tefillin in terms of the shmir on tefillin, the stealing of tefillin, the fact that a person has to go around with tefillin. So these are special halakas. You cannot extrapolate from them. If I can walk it with my tefillin, I can walk him with my gemara. It's not the same thing. So if he was holding his gemara, this was a little pre-gemara time, but if he was holding the equivalent of what would be now your gemara, so have a yoyv lun, he would give it to us to hold while he went into the bathroom. But ki avinaka tefillin, lo have a yoyv lun. Even though he had the option of giving us the tefillin, and that certainly would have handled all the problems of stealing and achbarim and so on, he didn't. Instead, he took the tefillin in with him. Because he said, Olel visharunu rabbanan. Once the rabbanan have said, it's mutter for me to have the tefillin in the bathroom, I'd rather have them. Because I take care of my tefillin take care of me. And therefore, ninatran, let the tefillin watch me, Zarashi learns, because now I have a right to have them. And if you're going into the bathroom, you never know what kind of monsters are hiding there under the stalls. And that's a place where the mazik can hide out, you know. And so you'd like to have your tefillin with you. Omar Rava. I had the same mice. Well, I used to follow Rav Nachman around. That's what Gavinaki Tzifa Dagarta Yaivlan. Gavinaki Tfilin Lo Yaivlan. He told the same thing. He said, Hova Sharuna Rabbonan, Ninatra. Tana Rabbonan Lo Yochaz Adam Tfilin Biyado, Vesefer Torah Bizro'o V'yitfalel. A person should not be holding his tefillin in his hands. He's not wearing his tefillin. Or a Sefer Torah in his hands. And daven, because his concern there is for the shmira, and he won't be able to now concentrate. And so, if not, you don't have yishuv hadas, that's part of the yikron lekrat elokecha, and they're constantly worrying about dropping it. I mean, I was a koshkin, if somebody's holding an iPod in his hand, so he's not allowed to daven. He's worried about dropping his tefillin. I mean, what will happen to his iPod?
Just fine.
Mm-hmm. A little facetious, but it's certainly the same
moment.
You're kidding.
Oh, you're davening from it.
Yeah.
So then, again, then it's just there. I mean, you're not crazy for dropping it, because you're holding it to read. It's when you're not concentrating on it that you're worried.
When you drop it, it breaks anyway. So
what if you have Tanakh on your palm? Can you take that into the Beis HaKisa?
Depends if it's turned on.
When it's on or off?
You can both answers.
When it's off, it's not a problem.
By the way,
it's virtual information.
It's a toast bag.
The same as the
Shaul Yafrin. That's a very interesting question that's brought very much halakha, which we'll talk about also when we get to our halakha review.
You have to wait.
This is these are the kind of things that are endless questions. We're already 50 minutes here. So, furthermore, lo yashtin be'amayim, you should not urinate with your tefillin, v'lo yishan be'am, which seems a little strange. We said before maybe there would be a hetter going into bed from with them. That again, that's for our halakhic review. The Rambam learns this a new nekuda, and that's the question of if you urinate, you may end up, even if you don't go to the bathroom, you may certainly end up releasing some flatulence, which is also prohibited. And so, mamela, there's always a chashash of urination, stam, not because of the bizoyin of the shetan per se. V'lo yishan behem, nor should you sleep in them, for the same reasons. We now see the mocker of the Rambam, because it's putting together shena and urination. When people sleep, again, they lose control of that function, so they're not going to be able to contain gas in their intestines. And here too, if they urinate, same problem. Since that's also for tefillin, there should be no sleeping at all. Lo shenat kva, v'lo shenat arai, wearing tefillin. Omar Shmuel, when it says you shouldn't be holding your tefillin in a sefer Torah, that certainly includes iPods as well. So a sakin, ma'ot, ka'ara, a kikar, that even a piece of bread could fall and get dirty if it falls, if it doesn't break. Same thing. Anything that takes your mind off of your ability to daven. Omar Rabam Rav Sheshes, let hilchatake hamatni. Look, this can't be true la'alach. It's got to be going according to Beit Shammai, right? Because, I mean, according to Beit Hillel, I think we said before you can walk in even to the bathroom, which is a bit like you say kavua. Over here we're talking about lashtin, means not to walk into the bathroom lashtin. The guy's going to urinate up against a tree somewhere, and that's not considered to be going into a bathroom. Nonetheless, you're telling me that what? I shouldn't be holding my tefillin? That's ridiculous. If I go into Beit HaKisei kavua, so I can't go into a Beit HaKisei arai, meaning I can't urinate on a tree? Is this true, though, that there's only going to be a Beit Shammai? Meisei. Dvorim she'itarti l'chakag, asarti l'chakag. In conjunction with this brisa, we have these mysterious words. That which I was matir to you elsewhere, I have prohibited you here. Okay, now what do you think we're talking about? I mean, undoubtedly, this is a reference to wearing tefillin during urination. It's got to be referring to tefillin. Now, if our original assumption is correct, that this bride was going alib de Beit Hillel, so then it reads very clearly. What was I ma to you here? To walk into the bathroom, that's a Beit HaKisei kavua with your tefillin. And nonetheless, I asserted it here. Kan, meaning Beit HaKisei arai, which we'll see why. Eliam at Beit Shammai, but if it's going according to Beit Shammai was never matir anything. What do you mean? What I was matir you here? Beit Shammai said you couldn't go into the bathroom either. The Beit HaKisei kavua. So what would be the meaning of these words according to you? Mashi tatil hakan, asatil hakan. I don't understand what possibility is it that this could be going according to Beit Shammai? Oh, says Rava, that's referring to something that's being taken here for granted. And you're supposed to understand what it was referring to. It's not referring to the tefillin. It's referring to the issue that was discussed previous to this brisa. Kitanya healing tefach utvachayim. Because look, anybody who was reading the brisa see that there's a contradiction. On the one hand, it says, kishu nifnev, a person. This is in terms of the dinam of tzniut in the Beit HaKisei. So you're not supposed to uncover yourself completely in a Beit HaKisei. Remember that everyone basically wore skirts in those days. So the question is, okay, how high do you pull up your skirt? So, kishu nifne, somebody is moving his bowel, migalela acharav tefach ulefanav tefachayim. So make sure that you have a tefach uncovered in the back and two tefachim in the front. The problem is that another brisa says, liacharav tefach ulefanav alo klum. Don't uncover yourself in front at all and only pick up your skirt in the back. Now how do you explain this? I mean, we're assuming, my lav idi ish, referring that both are talking to males, and the question is, What do you intend to be doing in this bathroom? So, kan l'gdolim, kan l'ktanim. If you're not going to be urinating, so what do you need to uncover your genitals for? Just pick up your skirt in the back and do what you got to do? No, wait a second over here. The first one you said is talking about urinating. So why in the world do you need to pick up your skirt for the back? Just open your zipper. So why? Ibik tanim laharav tefach lomali. That's a point, actually, now that you mention it. I mean, so, lo kasha. Well, I mean, it's not a completely crazy possibility, because we said that you may be moved to move.
Mm-hmm.
So, but actually, lo kasha. Habi'ish, habi'isha. Could be very simple. You're talking about a male. Well, his equipment requires the opening of his skirt in the front. You're talking about a female, and she doesn't have to expose herself in the front at all. And maybe that's the thing. So that's what it says. When it's talking about wait a second, it says on the zel kavachomer she'ino left teshuvah. Zel kavachomer she'ino left. What is that supposed to mean? See, the way we understood it, this makes perfectly good sense. We understood it was talking about tefillin, and we said dvarim she'asati l'chakan itati l'chakan asati l'chakan. And your immediate reaction is what? Isn't it a kavachomer? If I can go into a bathroom wearing my tefillin, it's a beta kisei kavua, why shouldn't I be able to urinate with my tefillin up against a tree? Correct? That was the kavachomer. And it says, you know something? Zel kavachomer shein alef teshuvah. I got no answer for your kavachomer, but that's the way it is. Now, you're certainly not going to start making a kavachomer. Well, look, I mean, if a man needs to open a zipper, certainly a woman does. And that'd be a rather funny kavachomer. So, Bishwam, if you're going to tell me, what do you mean, ain alaf teshuvah? All we need to do is give you a basic lesson in anatomy. I mean, that's the story of life, gentlemen. If you're a woman, you don't have to tuck your zipper down. So, what are we saying to kavachomer she'ain alaf teshuvah? El alaf tefillin. It's got to be referring to tefillin. And that proves that Rav Amar of Sheshes is wrong. But to Yufta, the Rav Amar of Sheshes, to Yufta, this was not Beit Shammai, this was Beit Hillel, and it acknowledges in the Brice itself, look, I know this sounds weird, and you'd think that the opposite is true, that if I told you it's mutter to go into the bathroom, koshike, you can use a tree. However, it's not true. You know, why isn't it true? I mean, that's a little bit crazy. You're telling me that's the way it is. And you're telling me you got no answer to my kavachomer. So why is this the halacha? I mean, hashta beit kisei kavua shori. We saw that Beit Hillel said before, you can go into beit kisei kavua. So now he's ossering a tree? Beit kisei arayvo koshikeno? For sure you should be able to wear your tefillin. Ah. The point is this, you see, there's a difference. Okay, come on. Beit HaKisei Kavua, the Leka Nitzotzuk Shori, the issue over here is something different. You're holding your tefillin. So if you're going into an outhouse, then there's no chashash using that outhouse that you are going to be spattered with urine. Because it's dug out, there's a place to urinate. You use a place, you have a toilet. But if you're up against a tree, there is a chashash that you will get splattered with urine. That's normal. If you get some urine on you, the din is you're supposed to wipe it off. You're going to wipe it off with your hand. The same hand that's you're going to be holding your tefillin? No way. Therefore, says Beit Hillel, that look, if you're going to be using a tree, you shouldn't be holding your tefillin. Because you don't want to now handle your tefillin with a hand that you just used to wipe off urine. And therefore, it would be, even though it sounds on the surface ridiculous, it's a kavachomer she'ein lo of teshuvah. But, you know, there's other things you didn't take into consideration.
The din of tefach and tefachayim, the Rav connected that to the fact that men used to wear skirts, but in Shulchan Aruch means that Mishmur does not.
It does
mention that point of view. And Mashmah does apply today for men.
Thank you. It takes an awful long time to get to the end of your statement. But the difference is that if you're wearing pants, then nitzotzot are not an issue. Is the question of nitzotzot is al birkach, which is why I specifically mentioned the skirts. See, the way that we dress nowadays, we don't have any chashash from nitzotzot. The dinim of nitzotzot is because nitzotzot are visible on your skin. So when you're wearing a skirt, and your legs stick out underneath. This is the want of skirts. You're certainly not wearing your evening gown, you know. So then the Gemara says, later, people have a tendency to think the worst. And so even though many is the time that they've gotten some urine on themselves, they can't help but thinking, you know, maybe this guy's a little screwed up, you know. Maybe he really couldn't have kids. Hey, I wonder whose kids they are. This is, believe it or not, human nature, okay? So therefore, we know about that comment. So therefore, it would be best to clean it off. If, however, you're wearing pants, you're wearing clothing, like the case we were talking about before in the Tosfos, there's no problem in the Tosfos because they're absorbed into your bag at the club.
The Scotsmen still have a problem.
That's right.
Also isn't there a general den of tznius and basically say would keep yourself covered as much as possible?
That's true both of pants and of skirts. But the sugya as a whole, in order to get to the nitzotzes element, we're talking about an uncovering that includes that kind of beged as well. For our kind of beged, it's poshet, you know, to some extent. If you have a zipper that opens a beged in front, you know, and they had zippers that also, so to speak, equivalent to zippers, what they used to have is, you know, you pull the material apart to expose your rear end. It's the same type of idea. So that's the lefanav tefach et fachayim miachorav. So why did you say inolef teshuva? I understand. You said, this is a kal v'chomer, which I can't possibly answer. You just answered it. what do you mean? Teshuva mal yasi? You know something? That makes a lot of sense. I mean, so what are you telling me? I can't give you an answer. No, I mean, if you don't think about the reasoning, and all you do is you go in there like a bull in a china shop, and like everything is black and white. Gee, I thought there's no problem because you say it and go in to a bet akise kavua. This makes no sense. Well, if that's the way your mind works, you're 100% right. I have no answer for you. If you think rationally, then you'll figure out the answer, right? Okay. So therefore, this issue can only be approached rationally. The Torah's taima. But don't come in here just blindly comparing two cases and try to get your answer in terms of a kal v'chomer. V'lo tesi b'kal v'chomer. Because if you're going to try to get it in the sense of a kal v'chomer, then I got to tell you, my friend, Zeo kal v'chomer, she ain't alef teshuva. I got no way of answering this kal v'chomer. We have to analyze the circumstances. Tana Rabbana. Arotze l'ikanes l'su'udat kva. If you are going into a sit-down dinner, you do not want to be in a position in which you get up in the middle of the meal, have everybody watch you as the speaker is speaking, as you make your way with your head hung low to the bathroom. So therefore, it would be best to take care of your calls of nature before. Think in advance. So therefore, the thing to do is, but I don't need to go to the bathroom. Okay, take a little walk. Stimulate your body. Get yourself moving. Mahalek asarapa mim arbamot, or arbamot, arbapa mim esramot. Then try to go to the bathroom, and then go into the soda. Omer Rav Yitzchak nichnas to sudat kva, choletz tefillin v'acharkach nichnas. You take off your tefillin, and then walk into the dinner. Please, Rav Chia, now that argues Rav Chia. Rav Chia says the contrary. Menichan al shulchano, you should walk in with your tefillin like a mensch, take them off and set them down next to you on the table, and then you can eat, and then even if you will eat a little bit too much, drink a little bit too much, it won't be a pagam for your tefillin that you're acting like an idiot, because you took your tefillin off and you set them down next to you. And how much do you leave it on the table? I mean, that's a man bracha. You have a birchas hamazon, you put him back in. Tani chada. Tzorer adam tvilan, tvilav imo tav bar fakasuto. This begins now the sugya that our president spoke about earlier. What do we do about sticking some money in your tefillin zakel? So there is, if lemaiser, it says in the one brisa, you can now take your turban, put your tefillin in it together with your money, and wrap it up in your turban. And the other son said, no, you can't put it together with your money. And the difference is, the question is, was this turban set aside for your tefillin? So then you can't put money into it. The Omar Rav Chista, High Sudra, the Tefillin, the Azmanei LeMetzer Beit Tefillin. If you had set aside now a Sudar for Tefillin, and you also had actually used it once, Tzar Beit Tefillin, it becomes usur from that point on to use to put your change in. So you can't LeMetzer Bapshitei. But suppose you set it aside for Tefillin but never used it yet. Or, so Azmanei Velot Tzar Beit, or you used it for Tefillin but it was Bakra, you hadn't set it aside and made it your Tefillin Zekel. Tzar Beit Velo Azmanei. In either event, then it would be mutter to use for your change. Shari LeMetzer Beit
Zuzei. We're not talking about under your hat, are we?
No, not necessarily. Well, Abaye, the Amar Azmana Milsehi, according to Abaye, who holds that even the setting it aside for a particular purpose is considered to be the equivalent now of having it dedicated to that purpose without the actual use, so then Afagav Delot Sarve, then his halacha is Azmana, is without needing to do it. So then Sarve, if he had put something in it but hadn't been Mazmin, they wouldn't have meant anything either. Even according to Abaye, Yazmine Yasir, Ilo Azmine, Lo. So the Hazmana is sufficient without Sarve, but Sarve is not sufficient without Hazmana. Okay, I think we should stop here. A lot of fun. Can't hear you.